It's time for Magnuson Nature News, a monthly program about the amazing nature inside Magnuson Park. Each episode has a different theme, featuring animals or plants that live here in the park. You'll hear fascinating facts and true nature stories, interviews with kids or adults who know a lot about nature, the best places inside Magnuson Park to find animals and plants, and much, much more. Magnuson Nature News is brought to you by Magnuson Children's Garden, a great place for the whole family to visit any month of the year, and where all of our events are free. I'm your host, Emily Bishton, and I'd like to give a special welcome to all kids and adults who know me from my years of teaching at Magnuson Children's Garden, Magnuson Nature Programs, and the Jane Addams Sandpoint and Dunlap School Gardens. Magnuson Children's Garden is delighted to be a part of Space 101.1 FM and hope you enjoy this edition of Magnuson Nature News. If you were listening to last month's show, you heard me interview Cindy Hazard about the founding of Magnuson Children's Garden in 2001. If you were listening during the middle of winter, you heard 2 months of interviews with veteran nature camper Finley Ross, where we talked all about nature camps, but also about how Magnuson Park was used as a naval air station by the U.S. Navy for so many years. But in this month's show, I'd like to take a time-traveling trip way back in time, before the Navy was there, before the Children's Garden was there, before any white settlers were there. I want to go way back in time. If you know a little bit about history, you probably know that Seattle was first turned into a little town starting in the 1850s. During that same time, at around 1855, was the first time that a white settler went to put a survey, which was to measure all the land and draw a map of Sandpoint Peninsula, which is where Magnuson Park is now. And that's the first known map that we have of that, but there were people who knew that land and didn't need a map for many, many hundreds of years before that. The man who made that map and did that survey was named William Stickler. And the notes on his map show that Magnuson Park was covered with a forest, a very thick forest of trees that were huge. In fact, you would have to get probably all your friends and family to gather around in a big circle and hold hands just to be able to go around one of those trees. Really, really big and tall trees. And there was wetlands all over Sandpoint Peninsula. Big ponds and little ponds, streams flowing down from what we call View Ridge Hill now, flowing down and bubbling and splashing all the way down to Sandpoint Peninsula, and then settling into pools where it was a safe place for salmon to rest while they went upstream to spawn. Deep in those woods, there was a giant marsh and swampy area that eventually people called Mud Lake. But really, it was part of Lake Washington, like a little lagoon. And it was also surrounded by big trees. If you were paddling a canoe along the lake, you might see right at the lake shore smaller trees and bushes and little places where you could stop and tie up your canoe and do a little fishing or look for other things to eat. There were lots of berry bushes and flowering plants of all kinds. Many, many things you could harvest to eat or harvest to use to make baskets or maybe make a little summer shelter to get out of the sun and be along the lake and do some fishing. Very much nature's grocery store from one end of Sandpoint Peninsula to another. Let's imagine just for a minute that we're walking through the peninsula way back then, maybe 200 years ago. For one thing, it would be cool and dark in there and really nice on a hot, hot summer day to be walking amongst the trees. But you have to watch where you're going so that you don't accidentally step in the mud or the wetlands that filled the whole peninsula. I bet you would hear a lot of birds singing, don't you think? Probably little tiny birds like chickadees and goldfinches, and bigger birds. You might hear woodpeckers pecking on the trees. Because in any old growth forest, there are big, big giant trees that have been living for hundreds of years. And there are also trees that are also dying. They might still have life in them, but they're starting to get hollow. And we know how many creatures love a good hollow tree. The woodpeckers would be tapping on them to see if insects were living in there. Maybe an owl family has built a nest inside. Maybe an eagle is perched at the very tip top because from the top of a bare dead branch, they could see way out into Lake Washington to look for fish. Maybe a red-tailed hawk is circling way over the tops of the trees to see if there's a mouse or maybe a rabbit running around in the grass along the edge of the lake. We would be surrounded by birds of all kinds. There might be other creatures in there too. Do you think that there were a lot of tree frogs in those ponds throughout the peninsula? You're right. In fact, I bet at this time of year, 200 years ago, if you were taking a nighttime nature walk, you would be surrounded by Pacific chorus frogs singing at the top of their lungs. Not singing like a bird, of course. Singing like a frog. It would be so loud. Wow. If you were walking with a friend, you might not even be able to hear each other talk to each other. You might have to whisper in each other's ears just to be heard over the frogs. I wonder also if other animals would be walking around. I bet there was lots of luscious plants for deer to eat. And then beautiful clean water for them to drink from the wetland ponds. And deer like to be out at night, walking around. And another creature that likes to be out at night are the coyotes. I bet coyotes were out walking around too, probably looking for a mouse, just like the hawks do in the daytime. Coyotes love to eat mice at night. I bet there would be lots of creatures out no matter what time of day or night you walked through Sandpoint Peninsula. Even if you were in your canoe paddling along the edge of the lake, you would hear all the sounds of the forest coming, drifting over the lake. And you would hear the lake sounds too. I bet you would hear some beaver tail slaps. If you got close to a beaver lodge or a beaver dam on one of those many creeks that flowed down into the lake, you might hear fish jumping too, especially when the salmon were returning to go upstream in the late summer and fall. You'd hear splashing all over the lake, millions of salmon coming back to spawn every year. You might hear ducks flapping their wings or preening along the edge of the lake, sitting on a rock. You might see diving ducks diving down to see if they could snatch a snail off the bottom of the lake and have a yummy treat. You might hear a kingfisher dive from a tree down into the water with its rat-a-tat-tat-tat call when it's flying. Many sounds you would hear, but one thing you wouldn't hear is any car sounds or boat sounds from motorboats or any plane sounds. All the sounds you would hear are sounds from nature, and all the things you would see are things you would see only in nature. Oh, if you were out in a canoe on a nighttime paddling along the lakeshore, you would see the stars from one end of the sky to the other. Wow! And the moon shining bright down on you and down on the water, reflecting in the ripples. What a beautiful night it would be. If you paddled your canoe all the way to the south end of Sandpoint Peninsula, you could tie up and walk up the giant hill that we call Promontory Point. And you would climb up out of all the wetlands and start up a forested hill with steep cliffs. And when you got to the top of that hill, you could peek between the trees and look down, way down, and see the lake. It's almost like being an eagle yourself. Did you know that you can still walk to the top of the trail of Promontory Point Hill and look down on the lake? The forest is still there. It's a new forest, and it's not nearly as thick with trees as it was 200 years ago. But it's a wonderful place to hear the birds sing. And you can even hear the frogs from up there, even today, during this time of year when the frogs are singing every night. Pretty cool. In fact, there are other places along the lakeshore that I visited with kids over the years, taking hikes at our nature camps and taking wetland walks with families. There are places along the lake shore that you can visit that almost make you feel like you've gone back in time. I remember at Nature Rangers Camp, we would always go to a little clearing in the trees right at the edge of the lake, but surrounded by the trees. And all we could see in front of us was the lake. And all we could see around us was the trees and the shrubs. And when we were in there, it just felt like we were a million miles away from civilization. We all worked in our nature journals and just looked out on the lake, looked down to see if salmon fry were swimming by below us in the water, and they were. We could see ducks out on the lake, diving ducks and dabbling ducks. We could see birds way, way out, big groups of birds way out in the lake. That was super cool. I bet you would enjoy going to a place like that, wouldn't you? Go for a hike along the lakeshore and see what kind of a special place you can find. Now let's get back to our time travel and paddling along the edge of the lake. Let's turn around and paddle all the way back around the tip of the peninsula to the north side and paddle a little ways up Lake Washington to what we now call Matthews Beach. If you were there 200 years ago, maybe that was your village, and you are a Duwamish person. Maybe you were born in this village, and you know every place around it to find food and shelter and build things, everything you need. There would be many, many places, very special places, all around your village and north and south of your village that you would know about if you were born there. And I just remembered one more amazing, beautiful sound that you would hear while you were paddling back to your village. You might hear drumming and singing. Wow, that would be so great to hear the sound of singing floating out over the lake. And all the singing would be done in the Lushootse language. That's the language you would speak and you would sing. That's one reason I love to sing with kids at Magnuson Park. I think singing while you're out in nature is my favorite place to sing. That's where the birds sing. That's where the frogs sing. That's where the coyotes howl. It's fun to be a human being and be able to make music in nature too. One of the other things that I love about being in Magnuson Park, of course, since I live here now and not 200 years ago, I like to go to the children's garden and sit at the top of the lookout and look out all the way to the lake on Pontiac Bay, which is on the north side of the Sandpoint Peninsula, where Sail Sandpoint is. And I like to look at all the tops of the trees I can see from the top of the lookout. And imagine if I was a bird and I could just fly right to the top of them and look down on the whole peninsula. Did you know that the children's garden is based on the journey of a salmon all the way from the ocean where the gray whale garden is, all around the edges of the ocean where the tide pool gardens are and the bog gardens, and then up the path that we call the salmon survival path with all the mosaic sea stars and octopus and sand dollars and salmon and bear paws and everything else a salmon might see when it makes its journey upstream to its spawning grounds. And up at the lookout are mosaic pools that are the spawning ground for the salmon. So you can pretend you're a salmon and take a journey up the salmon survival path to the lookout anytime you want. And then be at the lookout looking out on all the park around you. I hope you'll do that sometime. And we are about to put in a special Discover Your Garden activity that people can do anytime with special cards with activities on them and signs to find and special things to find besides the salmon survival path. You can find the willow house and the rolling lawn and the log pile and lots of other fun things to do. I hope you'll come and take the Discover Your Garden tour the next time you're in the children's garden. Have you had fun on our little time travel? I have. Next time you're at Magnuson Park, even if you're playing soccer or baseball or something else, just take a few minutes and try to imagine being right there 200 years ago, surrounded by nothing but nature. If you'd like to find out more about the history of Seattle and the areas around Seattle, there is a really cool website that you could visit. It's called historylink.org. And they have so many different stories about the beginning of the settling of Seattle and what was here before, and all sorts of amazing different stories that you can look up. And one of the ones I looked up today that I thought was super cool was about the music of the first people that lived here, the Native Americans. And it's file number 7565 on HistoryLink. Another really amazing file is file number 8156, and that is an interview with a woman who's from the Skagit tribe named Vi Hilbert, where she pronounces the names of all different places along Lake Washington and in Seattle and the names of the tribes in the Lushootse language, and she even tells a story, a really cool story, in that language. I bet you would really like hearing it. You can also read Chief Seattle's famous speech that he gave in the 1850s. And so many other things that are fun to look at and fun to know about. I hope you'll visit historylink.org no matter what you're interested in finding out more about. Have you ever been to the Burke Museum? It is really great, isn't it? And their website is amazing. And the place that I've been looking at today is called the Waterlines Project. So if you go to burkemuseum.org and do a search for Waterlines Project, you will get to an area of their website that has some amazing pictures and maps and other information about all the ways the water has changed in Lake Washington and in Puget Sound and in the rivers through all these years. I think you'll like that too. Hope to see you in the park.